So there is this huge propaganda that in 5 years' time we'll all be gone. Unless we act when? Right now. So Bonnie Prince Charles sets out to build a house for his son. A 790 square meter home in England, Wales border, will feature a solar-powered heating, insulation made of sheep's wool. It will include 5 bathrooms, a dressing room, a grand dining room, a tree garden, and hall lined with Greek columns. He's going to spend his money in a green way. I'm happy to see that. How sustainable can you get? The Mail online, September 24, 2008. Prince Charles will appear at conference as a hologram. When he went to receive his reward, they said, "You flew all this way and you burnt so much carbon in your airplane. You're contributing to the greenhouse gas." And so he had himself beamed to the conference. Here's the story. And Prince Bonnie Al Gore did exactly the same. They're becoming green. They are beamable princes. And this is the technology they used. How virtual Charles will use an optical illusion to address the Abu Dhabi Energy Summit and save 15 tons of carbon emission. And this is Bonnie Prince Charles being beamed.
Now, time to introduce Prince Charles, but not as you know him. This morning, the Prince is addressing an energy conference in the Middle East. But he won't actually be there. He's appearing as a hologram, a recorded three-dimensional figure. Now, those behind the technology say it'll soon be possible for people to appear virtually from anywhere in the world, like myself. That would be a good idea. That would save some early starts. But what it does save is the vast carbon emitted by flying people around the place. Our environment correspondent Catherine Jacob reports.
He may not be known as the most modern of men, but his concern for the environment has catapulted Prince Charles straight into the 21st century. He's been transformed into a hologram for a virtual speech at an energy conference in Abu Dhabi. If he'd appeared in person, his long-haul flight would have emitted around 15 tons of carbon. The virtual version of the Prince of Wales, here it is delivering a 5-minute speech in Abu Dhabi today, but this message was recorded last year here in the UK at Tigo.
Al Gore also appeared as a hologram at some of his live Earth concerts last year. The decision to appear as his royal hologram followed stinging criticism last year, when Prince Charles emitted 20 tons of carbon flying to the United States to collect an award. Criticism, it seems, he's obviously taken to heart. Catherine Jacobs, Sky News.
Now, have you ever wished you could be in two places at once? Well, now you can, without even leaving home. Prince Charles today became one of the first to do so when he appeared as a hologram for a speech in Abu Dhabi. And as Catherine Jacob reports, in the future, we could all simply beam ourselves up.
Fascinating. Now, what's even more interesting is the hype. Let's get the youth on board. How do you get the youth on board? You use rock music, you use programs that excite them, and let's beam on board Bonnie Prince Gore and his dancing beamers. And here he is speaking in Tokyo, or is he?
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Everyone on Earth, can you hear me? I'm
I have a good friend of mine today here to support us. He's the author of The Ant Inconvenient Truth and the former Vice President of the United States. Let me introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Al Gore.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Al Gore. What an amazing world we live in. I love it that I can stand here on this stage in Tokyo and speak to you in holographic form. It is astounding that in just these recent few decades, we have seen the invention of technologies that enable us to connect and instantly communicate our ideas and intentions and feelings with people on the other side of the globe. Because of the communication channels and technologies that are now available to us, this venue, at this very moment, is connected to the entire world. You are communicating right now to well over 2 billion people, including all the Live Earth audiences in Sydney, Shanghai, Johannesburg, Hamburg, London, Rio de Janeiro, and New York. And the broadcast audience watching on television and over the internet in more than 120 countries. The human race is also connected by the climate crisis. It is a global problem that transcends boundaries, languages, and culture. The climate crisis has an impact on everyone, everywhere on Earth. If we look at the Earth from space, it looks like a blue ball coated with a very thin layer of lacquer. And within that thin layer are all the air, all the water, and all the living beings. This fragile layer is all that we have. It's our only home. And we owe it to our children and our children's children to protect them. With Live Earth, we hope to connect people through the power of music and engage them with a simple universal message. SOS, answer the call. The Live Earth concerts are intended to inspire you and a mass audience all over the world to take immediate action and build a global movement for change. You can launch this movement today by pledging to take meaningful and lasting action to make changes in your life. And there are so many areas of our lives that can contribute to the problem and instead can contribute to the solution. Those are the very things that we can change today in order to be a part of the solution. And you can commit to this pledge at liveearth.org. As you are making these critical changes in your life, please be sure to call on your leaders and elected officials to do the same thing. Now is the time to begin to heal the planet. Together, we can transform the way we relate to our environment. Global warming is now the greatest challenge facing our planet, indeed the greatest we've ever faced. But it's one problem we can solve. If we come together as one, take action, and drive our neighbors, businesses, and governments to act as well. That's what Live Earth is all about. To all assembled here in Tokyo, at the special event in Kyoto, and all around the world, thank you for being a part of Live Earth. Answer the call.
We don't have to look at all of it, but these are the princes of the world, and they pay homage to the crown. Prince Charles, speaking at the Energy Summit, said, "Scientists are now saying that the problem of climate change is now so grave and so urgent that we have less than 10 years to slow, stop, and reverse greenhouse gas emissions. Common actions are needed in every country." And the one knight gives the other knight, the one prince gives the other prince an award. And you know, I've realized it's like that all over the world. If you want to have a reward, then you better be part of the team. You better be part of the team. I see Meryl Streep is also there. She's in one of my lectures, a very interesting lady. Oh, he gets a Nobel Prize together with the other prominent gentleman. Now, how convenient is this inconvenient truth? Did you know there are 35,000 scientists who've signed the document saying that this is a ruse? There are many, many attacks against them saying that half of them, or more than half of them, don't amount to very much. But this man certainly does not amount to nothing. Who is this man? He has an interesting story, an inconvenient truth or convenient fiction. Dr. Stephen Hayward, senior fellow at the Pacific Research Institute, Weyhauser Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, author of the annual Index of Leading Environmental Indicators. This is not some fool we're talking about here. And not only that, he has to do with, writes the AEs, the Environmental Policy Outlook, and he produced a host, produced this thing called Inconvenient Truth or Convenient Fictions. Here's one of his co-workers, assistant professor in agriculture and biosystematic engineering.
The problem with Vice President Gore and other global warming extremists is that they distort the science, grossly exaggerate the risks, argue that anyone who disagrees with them is corrupt, and suggest that solutions are easy and cheap. And that's an all too convenient fiction. Gore's most disturbing claim is that climate change is not a political issue, but a moral issue. Yet what he wants to do involves large political interventions in the economy and a vast expansion of government power. He says he wants to use markets, but what he really means is that he wants to pass laws making energy much more expensive. That is a truth so inconvenient to Gore's agenda that he conceals it in his movie.
One of the defects, I think, of Vice President Gore's approach to this issue is that he begins from a standpoint of philosophical pessimism that sees man as deeply separated from nature by technology. And that's why he calls for things like a wrenching transformation of society to solve the problem of climate change. This seems to me to be very doubtful and maybe even dangerous, because it suggests that we can solve some very deep human problems through politics. We've never been able to do that, and I don't think it's compatible with democracy. Well, climate change is arguably the most complicated scientific issue humanity has ever investigated, and it requires the coordination of multiple disciplines in a way that has never been done before. And that's one of the things that makes all the more outrageous the idea that the science is settled, that there are no important uncertainties worth discussing, or that there can be no doubt about the policies we might try to address the problem.
I try to simplify the scientific issues for a popular audience without compromising the complexity of the subject.
The problem with the Vice President Gore's book and movie could be compared to the Da Vinci Code. It begins with some well-known and well-accepted facts and then goes off to make extreme, exaggerated, and fanciful claims that are not well-founded in science.
Well, one of the things that he says is that at the current CO2 levels, we will pass the threshold beyond dangerous consequences within 20 years. Does your science say something other than that?
Oh, absolutely. Look, there's lots of reasons to doubt that the models... Remember, we're trying to predict the future with computer models. We have a pretty bad track record at that. We're trying to model one of the most complicated phenomena science has ever studied, and there's lots of confounding literature that appears in the scientific journals almost every week that casts that kind of statement into serious doubt.
Anyway, what he does say is that all these claims seem to be reversed. Within 1 year, the Earth experienced the biggest freeze that it has, and all that ice that disappeared returned in one single year. So there are many issues which are not trustworthy on a scientific level as to what these people are saying. It's interesting when you compare these princes. I'll just use Prince Charles as an example. And I'm quoting here from Verne. She says, let's compare these two. Charles is the Prince of Wales. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of the world. The heritage of the British royal family can be traced to 8th century. The lineage of Charles can be traced to the titular kings of Jerusalem back to Babylon. Charles is Jewish by his father's father. Jesus was before the foundation of the world. He is the great I Am, born in the city of David. The Messiah is Jewish. In quest for an inner meaning, Charles turned to nature, Gaia, the worship of the earth. He believes in the virtues of each religion. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, is through the blood of Jesus Christ that man has forgiveness of sins and is saved eternally. We worship the Creator, not the creation. Charles is active on the global levels behind the scene. He works in secret, bringing together key players through the global government movement. The United Nations. He has guided the UN radical environmental agenda, which will change how the world lives, an agenda which leads to bondage. On Jesus Christ, the whole mission of Jesus Christ was to redeem man's fallen state through his sacrifice on the cross and provide forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Jesus provides hope to the downtrodden, freedom for all who believe in him. All that Jesus did was in the open. He says, I've done nothing in secret. There was nothing ever done by Jesus Christ that was secret. Today's people say, God save the Queen. God save the King. As a tribute to the monarch. In Jesus' day they cried, Hosanna, meaning save or help now, King. It's reversed. Today people say, or the symbol of the British royal family is the red dragon, which is the symbol of Rome, and which they say they serve. Jesus came as the Lamb of God. He's not the dragon. And he's the Lamb that will take away the sins of the world. And he is the one who will come and conquer. And all these forces subject to the man of sin will disappear according to the Bible. Here's the badge of the Prince of Wales. It's merely a symbol of homage to the crown, to the Templar crown, to the secret societies of the world which are subservient to one master and one master alone. Did you see that red carpet they rolled out for him and how they removed every speck of dust for his holy feet as he was there at the United Nations? Ich dien, I serve the dragon, the one who is Rome. Revelation 13 verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Can we see what the United States is? The United States is merely a crown state. And all that military might and all that military power is there for one purpose. And the people, they can be used as gunfodder, it doesn't matter. Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Here's our choice. We can choose to ignore what the Bible says. We can choose to believe that this world is getting better. Or we can believe the Bible. The Bible says the greatest thing in the last days will be something that Jesus called deception. The disciples came to Jesus and said, when will these things happen and what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And the first words he spoke were, beware that no one deceives you. Thank you.